putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. Infowars.com, band.video. We got a lot of stuff still to talk about. Obviously, the disasters of the flood is only being compounded by, or it's only serving to illustrate the genuine lack of care that the authorities have for the American people. And that's not just about the response. It's about everything that came before the response. It's about the billions upon billions of dollars that have been stolen from these people, used to wage war overseas, the soldiers that should be there helping to rescue people now that are, like, there as I speak, there are probably people that could be rescued if an effort was made, but they'll die instead. They'll die because the infrastructure has been left to rot for 50 years. The people that would be rescuing them are deployed to the Middle East. The money that could be spent on helping them has instead been sent to foreigners. Again, are they going to be shipped to different states, given a years-long free lease, given $30,000 in EBT cash? Is everybody affected by the floods going to get even a modicum percentage of what the average random Venezuelan criminal gets for crossing into this country illegally? Or is our entire system set up exclusively to deprive the American people for the benefit of everybody else? And is what's happening now not simply not, is like, it's not like it's out of line with the stated policy of our current government. It is a perfect example of it. When the American people need something, the government is nowhere to be found. When the American people are suffering, are having their jobs taken away, you have to fight tooth and nail to even get reprieve from the, you know, policies that you have no ability to affect one way or another. Right? So when your coal power plant gets shut down, your entire town suddenly out of a job, and all of the, you know, other jobs that come along with a thriving economy like that, when all of that is destroyed through no fault of your own, yeah, try to squeeze some water from the stone of American government at that point. It's not going to happen. But this is just a major and illustrative event. On top of this, I want to get into the biolab fire, 17,000 people having to evacuate as plumes of smoke rise over the horizon of some unstated chemical morass that people are breathing in at this point. Again, if you want to actually mitigate these effects, it's not hard. It's not like we don't have the ability. And it's probably the most frustrating thing about everything that we're talking about is we have the ability, we have the resources, we have the talent, we have the people, we have the money, we have the organization. We could be living in paradise. We could be safe and productive. We could have flood mitigation strategies. We could have infrastructure that's the best in the world. But it's all being deliberately destroyed, deliberately taken away from us, deliberately and egregiously given away to our enemies. Because the people in power despise you. Something major has to change very soon.
Just wanted to give you guys a little bit of props, the Alex Jones store. I got my Answer 1984 1776 wristband on. I buy the products because I like the products and I like the merch. And here's the thing. I buy the multiple wristbands and the stickers to give them out. And I've been looking for InfoWars stickers for a while because the main store site didn't have them. So finding out that there's stickers, you know, for 1776, et cetera, on this site means I can finally have stickers mysteriously appear in my neighborhood again. I'm not going to say that the main thoroughfare had, along the bus route, stickers from every bus at the start of the route to the end of the route, but let's just say somebody may have passed some of those stickers out and had them put up until the bus line got smart to it, you know?
That's awesome,
but
Sean.
There's not too many platforms like this that have this reach and have this depth of knowledge, and I give you guys props. We're fighting through it all, and I'm looking at some red and black InfoWars t-shirts with the old style print. It's probably my next purchase, so keep it going, guys.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Some videos here should help illustrate the situation that our country is in. At least in some regard. Let's go to clip number 17 here. This is Trump saying what everybody knows to be true. Let's watch.
I'm a good person. I want to take care of, we got to take care of people. We've built this over 250 years. We got to take care of our country. Our country is being destroyed by these people. And you don't even know why. Are they stupid? Are they evil? Do they want us to be destroyed? It's so obvious that it can't work. It can't work. I mean, go and take a look at Springfield. Go and take a look. And the governor's a Republican. He's a nice man. I helped him very much. Without me, he wouldn't have been elected. But he's taken an attitude like, oh, isn't it wonderful? Look, you got to do what you got to do. You got to get these people back where they came from. You have no choice. You're going to lose your culture. You're going to lose your country. You're going to have crime, the likes of which nobody has ever seen before. Now, I'm speaking from common sense. You see, the Republican Party has really become the party of common sense. We need common sense now.
Problem is, you still have these old guard GOP people like the governors of these states who are happily going along with this scheme. And I don't know how much more clear the enemy can make it, what their plans are, what their intentions are, what their designs are. Again, over this weekend, you've got Fran Lebowitz, I think your name is, talking about dissolving or packing the Supreme Court. You've got the DOJ suing states for removing 100,000 non-citizens from their voter rolls. You've got John Kerry and everybody else who's stupid enough to say the quiet part out loud talking about ending the First Amendment because it's a disruptive force for their plans. You've got the, I believe, ridiculous story about Iran being behind the assassination attempts of Donald Trump. You've got the massive escalations by Israel all over the Middle East with seemingly a total lack of deterrent response from anybody around them. And we'll have to get into that in a little bit because, again, I don't think people understand what this means exactly when it comes to the Middle East and what the effect of removing the Hezbollah chess piece from this board represents. And if there's one thing I'll say, and all of this is about to be compounded by the shutdown of ports across the country, I'll go to a video explaining that in just a second. But I think one thing I'm realizing more and more, again and again, this message is being reinforced, is half measures are death. And playing this game, whatever it is, whether it's American politics or geopolitics or war, like whatever it is, to be treating the people in power as if they are thinking rational human beings is it's a very bad mistake. Supposedly, Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, is dead. The bombings continue. Supposedly, Hezbollah as a force has been very thoroughly savaged. It makes you think, I wonder if they could go back in time, if around late October, early November of last year, maybe it was a mistake to not get fully involved. Maybe if you were Hezbollah, going back and looking at what was about to happen, maybe a timid and tepid response to the attacks on Gaza wasn't the right move. Maybe if you can see where our country is now, the tens of millions of people that have flooded across our border, the 20-year-long prison sentences given to peaceful protesters or people not even at the Capitol on the day, I wonder if maybe it wasn't a little bit naive thinking that protesting at the Capitol, trying to express ourselves as Trump supporters in line with the First Amendment, maybe that wasn't a little bit stupid. Maybe moving ahead now, it's time for everybody in the world to realize there is no negotiating with these people. There is no measured response that they will appreciate and respond in kind. Maybe if we could go back in time, everything would be handled a little bit more differently, a little bit differently, a little bit more aggressively. Maybe next time there's some major event, maybe the crowd really will be armed. Problem is, you don't get another chance. Problem is, these chances come up and then go away. And, you know, we said it at the time, and I want to wait to get into the Israel stuff, but I remember in like October, November, it was like, all right, Israel is like really bogged down in Gaza right now. They're having a lot of trouble making any advancement. Seem like their focus is entirely on there. I remember asking the question, like, why isn't Hezbollah just launching an attack right now? Like, this seems to be the opening that they've been waiting for decades. Why are they not going all in? They've got 150,000 missiles and a frontier completely open because everybody in the Israeli military is in Gaza. Why not just open up on them fully? And I was like, well, there's a measured response. There's an equation of deterrence. And it's like, okay, that makes sense. Like, you know, these guys have been doing this for a while. I'll trust their judgment. But looking back, it's like, no, yeah, they probably should have just gone all in at that point. They probably just should have taken the opportunity when they had it, because that opportunity is not going to rise again. And instead, what happened is Israel got to obliterate Gaza, kill 5% of their population or more, and then systematically build up an attack plan to go after Hezbollah. Again, if I had a magic wand, if I could, so all the people that have had their lives destroyed by the flood, which is go to Washington, D.C. and just set up a new government that actually works for us and serves us and doesn't treat the American people like some sort of despised stepchild. It's just brutal. It's just utterly brutal. And of course, like, all of this is about to be massively compounded by the choice they're making to shut down every port on the Eastern Seaboard. You can't negotiate with the unions or whatever. It's like we're being surrounded in a pincer move of incompetence and deliberate destruction, of the inability to deal with somewhat routine natural disasters while simultaneously unnatural disasters of human making are just continually being thrown at the American people. So let's go to clip number 22 here. This is a guy just laying down. What happens when the ports close? It's going to get bad, folks. Let's watch.
What happens if our seaports go on strike? The strike is set for October 1st, so you better share this with everyone. Because if our ports close, everything we depend on closes with it. Let's talk about what would happen within the month of October. On day one, international fuel shipments are the first to feel the impact. Crude oil tankers stuck offshore means no new fuel entering refineries. By the end of the day, concerns spread across industries as gas stations, trucking companies, and airlines brace for immediate shortages. Everything from fuel to imported goods is at risk, but fuel becomes the most critical loss. By day three, gas stations are starting to run dry and rationing begins. Prices surge as demand skyrockets. Without fuel, trucks can't deliver goods, and the first shortages show up in grocery stores. Businesses relying on imported oil like refineries scramble to maintain operations with whatever reserves they have left. The ripple effect starts to hit home. No fuel means no transportation. And without transportation, the flow of goods stop. Day seven, the energy crisis takes hold. Within the first week, the impact of fuel shortage deepens. Trucks, trains, and ships that move essential supplies across the country slow to a halt. Agriculture and manufacturing are crippled, unable to operate without fuel for machinery and transportation. Airlines begin canceling flights, and public transportation services are cut. Gas prices hit all-time highs as panic buying intensifies. By week two, the power grid struggles and collapse looms. Power plants that rely on imported fuel start to struggle and blackouts spread as they ration what's left. People begin hoarding fuel and chaos erupts at the pumps. The stock market plummets as industries reliant on global supply chains begin to crumble. The economy falters and unemployment skyrockets as factories close and businesses shutter. By week four, total breakdown of society. By the end of the month, the energy crisis and fuel shortages bring society to its knees. Cities erupt into fuel riots, and law enforcement is overwhelmed. With no fuel, food distribution collapses, and starvation becomes a real threat. Communities are left to fend for themselves as fuel reserves dry up completely, leaving transportation, emergency services, and the economy in ruins. Without ports, crude oil can't get in. Without crude oil, fuel can't be made. Without fuel, everything grinds to a halt. When the fuel stops, America stops. And just so we're clear, this could all happen within the month of October. AP out.
Yeah, it's looming. It's starting tomorrow, apparently. I remember they already drained the strategic reserve for, you know, Joe Biden to stop the cratering approval ratings. They sold off the emergency reserve to China. We don't have an emergency reserve, so us not getting new shipments of oil means that we will have nothing. It's about to get really bad. I told you about this last week. Hopefully you listened and stocked up on things, because as of tomorrow, it may be too late. I'm going to go down to clip number 16. Because this is a guy from North Carolina, just talking about some of the, just what it's like to be living through this. And that's what I've gotten. Everything I've commented online about this is just everybody responding saying, you have no idea how bad it is. You have no idea what's actually going on here. And we don't, because there's no media there covering it, because they don't actually care. about the people this is happening to. You really got to understand. You really like the simple explanation of this is the obvious one. The people in power, the people who run the media, genuinely do not care about America or the American people. This isn't just some, like, you know, off the cuff, like, God, they hate America. No, no. They genuinely do not have American loyalty. Their loyalty is to themselves and to people like them. And even though you're an American, if you live in Appalachia, if you live in a red county that voted Trump, you are not seen as an American with a different idea, as a compatriot with some differences. You're seen as an enemy of their plan, as a sticking point. You're the reason why their utopia hasn't been achieved yet. And they just have to get you out of the way because you're the source of all the suffering, even though you're suffering more than anybody else. Let's go to this clip just so we can hear from some of the people that are there and learn what they're actually going through. As again, Kamala Harris is doing some campaign event somewhere. Joe Biden is literally lying on the beach. The National Guard has been deployed to the Middle East. Those that are still able to help are not being given orders to help. So you've got privately owned helicopters flying supplies to and from this area, while the people who have paid taxes their entire lives are being left completely to defend for themselves, because the government that can systematically import 30 million migrants and give them places to stay and money to live on will not lift a finger to help the American people, because it is completely not fit for service. The government itself, as it exists right now, is not just not fulfilling its basic requirements. It is completely inverted at this point, where everything the government does directly contributes to the impoverishment, destruction, and humiliation of the American people. Exclusively. There's nothing that I can figure out that they do that's like actually for the American people. If there's ever anything, if they have to, because you're twisting their arm, they have to have something like FEMA. What do? They get in position of power in FEMA and go, okay, from now on, the Federal Emergency Response Agency, our number one priority is going to be equity and how to make things equitable and how to use this position to destroy white people, simply put. Let's go to clip 16. This is a guy from North Carolina talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Helene.
Hurricane Helene hit Leicester, North Carolina about 2 days ago. The local news is covering it, but the big news is not. A lot of people do not know what's going on. We are without food, without water. Gas stations are out. There's no electricity. It's a war zone. It's literally a war zone. Looting is going crazy. It's everywhere. Police are not responding to missing person calls anymore. They're only responding to big emergencies. The Walmart down the road on Bleachery just got flooded out where I work. There's nothing there. It's a war zone. There's flooding everywhere. Houses have been sucked away. There's houses floating down the river. Cars are gone. We need help. We need help, and no one's... We need to get the word around. We need help, please. So part two, we still don't have power. I haven't seen anything. We walked down to the road. There was a car that hit a tree, took the roof of the car clean off. Me and my roommate were splitting one bottle of water all day today. We had no more water. We need help. My job, if you look at the video, I work at Walmart. If you look at my video, it's flooded. I can't. My job right now, I can't even go to work. The roads, the flooding was so bad, it's torn up the asphalt. Like, it's ripped up the asphalt. If anybody can help, I mean, it's in my bio on my profile. If you can just click the link, I need help. A lot of us do. And please share. Please just share the other video or this video. We need help. Please pray for me.
Asheville, North Carolina, got hit by the hurricane 3 days ago. Bad news is we are getting hit by another hurricane in about 5 days. It's supposed to follow the same track. This community is devastated. Nobody can get in. I understand that there's plenty of trucks and people trying to get in, but I-26 and I-40 and every single bridge, they're not letting people cross because the bridges they're worried are going to collapse. We can't get help unless it's by air. And we don't know the locations where they are helping people. Sam's Club is giving out water if we need it, but there's no food or electricity right now. But just pray, please repost. It's just gonna get worse. It sounds like at the end of this week. So just keep praying and reposting, please.
So again, there are, you know, tons of private efforts being made to relieve these people. And there, I don't know, the crew brought up some headline that's like, generators being deployed. I'm sure there's a bare minimum of things that FEMA's doing. I'm sure, you know, they'll get some whatever containers set up for you to live in for a little while. You're not getting 5-star hotels. You know, that's only for the Venezuelans, the Guatemalans and the Hondurans and the Haitians. They get, you know, debit cards worth $30,000. And look, if it was one way or the other, I'd be fine. If the government just didn't exist and a disaster like this happens and, hey, you're on your own and people got to make up for it. You've got Nick Sotor setting up Starlinks because it's a blackout zone to be able to communicate. You've got people going through the area with pallets of water laid on flatbed trucks, just spending their own money to help out people in need. If there was no government and it was just people were on their own, we could probably handle it pretty well. Or if the government was super powerful and took all of our money, and then the instant a disaster happened, they were just on the ground repairing everything, fixing everything, making sure that the roads were up and running so you could get emergency supplies in and everybody who needed it was triaged and, you know, protected. If they'd spent billions of dollars creating flood zones, hardening our infrastructure against natural disaster, like either one of these is fine. Either one of these is fine. Anarchy, Americans can handle it. The Cajun Navy can do whatever the FEMA does cheaper and have more fun doing it. Or if you want to take all of our money, hey, it'd be fine if everybody who was affected by the flood had already received a $30,000 EBT card and a 5-star hotel for the next couple months while they put their life back together. I'm fine with either one of these. Now we're in the middle, where all of our money is taken and given to foreigners. All of our resources are depleted for the benefit of psychopaths in New York City and Washington, D.C., and the people are on their own and helpless.
I've been on air for 30-plus years. I started InfoWars 28 years ago. We've been in this building almost 16 years. And in the last 6 years, we've had the feds, the FBI, the CIA, it's all come out in court, run giant demonization operations against myself, my operation, and my crew.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
Lawfare, rigged courts, judges finding me guilty, then holding show trials, all in an attempt to not just shut us down, but to demonize the idea of an American populist movement of information and peaceful resistance to their globalist agenda, 21 and global agenda 2030. Literal world government, total censorship, Internet of Things, carbon taxes, social credit score, forced injections, a dystopia. The WF says officially the future is not human. No humans by 2047 will all be cyborgs. You'll own nothing. You'll like it. You'll eat the bugs. This is hell on earth. We are promoting freedom and liberty and transparency and security and God and country. So, many of you have seen the news everywhere. InfoWars is shut down to be sold November 13th at auction. It's over. It's shut down. No, ladies and gentlemen, I've personally liquidated my assets. I own InfoWars. And so the feds, the Justice Department, can get involved in bankruptcies. They did. They came in, tried to find dirt on me, had private groups come in, accounting firms, made us pay for it, found that I told the truth about everything. So then they told the judge last week, we don't want it to go up for sale. We want it just shut down. We want it closed. And the Sandy Hook Democrat Party, you always hear the families, it's not families, it's the Democratic Party and the FBI on record. They said, we don't want money. We don't want a settlement. We want him shut down. They've said it in the news. They've said it at the courthouse. It's crazy. So now I see the headline, InfoWars be liquidated to pay the families. They're $1.5 billion or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the deep state. It is the system. It is the lawfare. It's out in the open. So just to be clear, the U.S. trustee that the judge fired a few months ago tried to shut us down outside of court order. The judge stopped that. Then a state court tried to liquidate us a few months ago and close the doors and padlock it. The same judge that ran the kangaroo court against me in the Sandy Hook trial here in Texas. The judge overrode that. And they basically said the only way now is for you to liquidate your assets, Chapter 7, and sell it to somebody else. So if Patriots buy it, there's a lot of folks saying they are, and that they're the top bidder, then if I like the folks and they don't curtail my free speech, I will work for somebody else. That's how you do it when you have giant judgments anyways. So there's a good chance good people are going to buy it if the auction's open, free, and fair on November 13th. But regardless, I'm going to continue on the air one way or another, unless the globalists start World War III and trigger the internet kill switch and bring in their total censorship, which Hillary Clinton's calling for arresting Trump supporters for their, quote, speech. So the fact they're coming after me means they're coming after you. Trump always says that. They're not coming after me. They've got to get through me to get to you. That's totally true. So in closing, support InfoWars. You'll get your products. Things are in stock. It'll be months till we get shut down. If we do get shut down, that supports the operation. That's great. But also supporting the outside sponsors that are sponsors of InfoWars, but will hopefully go forward one way or another with a new operation or with InfoWars is so critical. And through the sponsors, I'm able to get some support. I'm out of money. I've got to continue to pay for these legal battles, or they'll try to even take over my name and my social media. So I need support. Plus, you need to get our great products. Go to our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. 50 plus amazing Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, you name it. Thealexjonesstore.com. Go to our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com. Because regardless of what happens to InfoWars going forward, Dr. Jones Naturals is there and the Alex Jones Store is there. So if you want to support your great products, take action now. It's do or die. I'm in your hands. I'm asking for your support. Plus, these are great products. Thealexjonesstore.com, drjonesnaturals.com. Please help us. Thanks for keeping us on air. God bless.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. In the next hour, I'll be joined by Alex Newman and Andrew Mueller. Until then, we still have a lot to talk about. I want to get into what's happening in the Middle East, although... Oh, man. All right. There's just so much to cover. So let's start with a very quick clip. Clip number 9. This is Secretary General of NATO Jens Stoltenberg talking about how dangerous the world has become.
The bad news is that the world is more dangerous. I leave NATO in a more dangerous world with a full-fledged war in Europe, with a war in the Middle East, and rivalry with China and many other challenges.
Yeah, gee, it's almost like Trump knew what he was doing. It's almost like after 4 years of Biden and his cronies running America, we're on the cusp of two different flashpoints for World War III. And that's not even getting into the immigration crisis or anything else. Just strictly on the geopolitical realm, It's not looking good, folks, whatsoever. Under the orders of Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, additional U.S. military units at bases in the United States and Europe have been raised to a high state of readiness, with them directed to prepare for deployment to the Middle East. And of course, every response underneath this is, what about North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, trapped in their homes without food, water, or medications? You want to do anything for them? No, of course not. No, we're starting a third world war. We're starting another Middle East conflict. Because of course we are. And I commented yesterday that, like, it obviously seems like this is the point. And, you know, it's like when you ask, you know, Tucker Carlson's always talking about it. He's asking Alex Jones, like, how did you know that 9/11 was going to happen? And so Alex's like, because they were saying it. And it's like so much more apparent now. They're blaming the Trump assassinations on Iran when clearly deep state fingerprints are all over it. More information has come out about that. More whistleblowers saying that both assassination attempts were set up from the inside, total inside jobs. When you've got just the insane escalation by Israel on every front continuously. And it really does, I've said it over and over, but like it feels like when you read history and you look back at World War I or World War II and you know the devastation that were caused by those conflicts and the buildup, you think, did nobody know? Could nobody see this coming? And then you realize as you look into it, it's like, no, the populations never wanted these wars. Massive anti-war demonstrations. Ahead of World War I, ahead of World War II. Out of World War II, like 85 to 90% of Americans did not want to go to war with Germany. But we did, didn't we? But we did anyway. If you ask the American people right now if we want to start a third world war, if we want to go into direct conflict with Iran, I doubt it's going to be a very popular prospect, except for certain neocons. That is, Israeli firsters. But it certainly looks like it's happening. Apparently, Biden is about to go live with some sort of statement to talk about the floods, probably. Yeah. We may go to that, but I mean, it's going to be the crew's asking, we want to go to the live. I can tell you what it is. They're going to list off a bunch of stuff that FEMA has ready. It's going to be a bunch of, we have 10,000 pallets of water. We have this. We have that. We are doing the right thing. I mean, every press conference is the same. After any disaster, after any assassination attempt, we've mocked this for years. After any mass shooting, the press conferences are always the same. It's always just agents of the federal agencies coming up and going, we did great. We did fantastic. We're doing everything perfect and correct. I'm so proud of all of us. We're awesome. We're great. We're doing it perfectly. Nobody could have ever, there's nothing anybody could have done to prevent this, but we are on the ball and we are handling it. I mean, do we really need to watch that? I don't think so. I'd rather get into the geopolitical shakeup now that Hassan Nasrallah has apparently been killed. I keep seeing other reports saying actually he wasn't killed, but I'm fairly certain Hassan Nasrallah has been killed. I'm fairly certain that when you think about the pager attack and the you know, Israeli hackers making small electronics blow up across Lebanon, you know, massive devastation there. Then you had the bombing raids against Lebanon, killing thousands of innocent people, but apparently also supposedly hitting some weapons caches as well. You've got continuing bombing happening in the last 24 hours. Israel has bombed Yemen and Lebanon and Syria. And so, up until now, Hezbollah has been a major aspect of deterrence for Israel, knowing that they had a very powerful force just on their northern border that limited their actions in other arenas. If that piece has been removed from the board, there's really nothing standing in their way to do to Lebanon what they did to Gaza, to complete their operation of total ethnic cleansing in Gaza and the West Bank, where they're carrying out operations right now. It means that Russia has lost a key ally in the region and is going to have to do some serious reorganization of their deployment of resources. And I haven't prepared enough to do a thorough breakdown of the history of Hezbollah, but I do want to correct some misapprehensions that people have online that I see over and over again. One, people keep bringing up the car bombing attack in Beirut on U.S. Marines in 1983. Okay. A couple things wrong with this. One, if you're saying that this is an attack on American servicemen, you're right. If you're calling it terrorism, you're wrong. Terrorism has a definition. It is attacks against civilian populations, usually in their home countries. Call me a stickler for the rules, but attacking a military installation on your own soil is not terrorism. It is by definition just not terrorism. It is just a military action against a military force. So if you're claiming that a successful operation against American servicemen in 1983 is justification for ruthlessly bombing the capital city of Lebanon in 2024, I think you're a little off the mark. Not to mention the fact that Hezbollah was founded in 1985, which would be 2 years after that attack, so they didn't have anything to do with that attack, even if it is justification for all of this. And I get it. I get how people, if you don't know the distinctions, you don't know the history, it would be easy to sort of just lump in Hezbollah as a Islamic terrorist non-state actor, kind of like ISIS, kind of like the Taliban, kind of like ISIS-K, kind of like any of these others, al-Nusra Front or whatever other CIA cutouts they have in operation in the Middle East. But if you look at the actual history of it, it is pretty clear from their own statements and their actions that the purpose of Hezbollah was always the sovereignty of Lebanon, dealing with threats to the Lebanese people. Not only are they not like ISIS, they were instrumental in destroying ISIS and stopping ISIS from overthrowing the Syrian regime or making inroads into Lebanon. And the reason I want to make this point is because if you look at the way they've behaved and the actions that they've taken and the messages that they've sent out, you know, Hassan Nasrallah did an interview with Julian Assange one time that was very enlightening, and you should watch that if you haven't. If they can be eradicated by the combined power of Israel and the U.S., if they can be determined by fiat to be terrorist, and therefore, you know, any amount of dead civilians is worth their eradication, then there is no ability to stop Israel's land grabs. And by the way, the Israeli Post, I think it was Israeli Post, but some prominent Jerusalem Post, I mean, posted a story over the weekend. Did God give Lebanon to the Israelis as well? Which, of course, when we've seen the patches, the Israeli army is wearing patches with the map of Greater Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu has made public presentations using maps where there is no Palestine, there is no Lebanon, it's all Greater Israel. That's what they consider it. We've told you that since the very beginning. They see it as their land. They are going to depopulate and occupy the entire area of the Middle East. I mean, that is their ultimate plan, and they're carrying that out. They're actually doing what the people in power now lie about Russia doing, right? How many times have we heard, if they're allowed to do it in Ukraine, where will be next? They'll take over Poland next. And it's like so far from reflective of anything happening in the real world. Meanwhile, Israel is like already advertising, you know, settler contracts to build homes in Gaza, the West Bank, and Lebanon. So they are doing that. They are doing the thing that we're supposed to hate, but we're paying for it. And maybe the most frustrating part of it is the fact that it's entirely us. It's entirely the United States. Israel does nothing on its own. Does Israel have the manufacturing to create the weaponry that they're using? No. Does it have the economic power to pay for all of the billions upon billions of dollars in weaponry that we're sending them? No, it doesn't. Doesn't have the manpower, doesn't have the manufacturing, doesn't have the economic base. It has nothing except for us. And we are the loyal slaves of Israel, providing everything it could possibly need, while we ourselves are collapsing under the weight of illegal immigration and out-of-control crime and crumbling infrastructure and natural disasters. We aren't using any of these resources for ourselves. We aren't using any of it's our intelligence they're using. It's our military they're using. It's our weapons manufacturing they're using. It's our diplomacy that they're using. It's our influence on the world stage that they're using. They have nothing. Israel has nothing to go on. Everybody hates them. It's just America. It's just America as this giant guard dog, slavishly doing everything Israel wants, giving them everything they ever ask for, and receiving nothing but hatred in return. By people who openly not just celebrate and advocate the most horrific, diabolical, demonic madness you've ever seen. Like, there's somebody online going, everybody hates Israel because we show how you can just get things done. They hate that we, you know, trying to frame it like Americans we just can't do this to our enemies. And we're jealous of Israel that Israel can. And it's like, I just want our border protected. I just want us not to have millions upon millions of foreigners flooding into our country, tens of thousands of convicted murderers and rapists funneled into our country. I don't want to drop 80,000 tons of bunker buster bombs on Mexico City. That's crazy. You can only imagine if America acted like Israel did, because Israel is this, you know, pathetic little nothing country in the Middle East. No manufacturing, no economic. I mean, just they live entirely off of it. We've given them $250 billion over the last few years. $250 billion. The last package, as of Saturday, $8.7 billion, is more than $1,000 per citizen of Israel. And they're over there strutting around like cocks in the hen house. It's pathetic, really. We are pathetic. Like, it's pathetic that America is so subservient to these people. And of course, it's because everybody who's running our government is a dual citizen with Israel. Like, we're occupied by a foreign nation. Every member of Congress has an AIPAC handler, and everybody in the State Department and the heads of the executive branch are literally dual citizens. So it's infuriating. One interesting comparison to make, just look at how we've been slowly but surely indoctrinated into this this madness that we're experiencing right now. Before I show you the comparison, let me just get into the series of events as it went down, because you have $8.7 billion being given to Israel. And along with this $8.7 billion was a demand from the United States, just like we've demanded over and over and over again of Israel, to get a ceasefire. Israel says it has secured $8.7 billion U.S. aid package September 26th. $8.7 billion, which we just throw these numbers around. You probably could replace every single dam in Appalachia for $8.7 billion. It is an astonishingly huge amount of money. It's insane. It is just completely insane that we're doing this. The package includes $3.5 billion for essential wartime procurement, which has already been received and earmarked for critical military purchases, and $5.2 billion designated for air defense systems, including the Iron Dome anti-missile systems, David Sling, and advanced laser systems. While our infrastructure crumbles and our economy collapses. At the same time, on that day, actually the day before, this is what I mean by the timeline. September 25th, joint statement by President Biden and President Macron, it's time for a settlement on the Israel-Lebanon border that ensures safety and security to enable civilians to return to their homes. The exchange of fire since October 7th, and in particular over the past 2 weeks, threatens a much broader conflict, harm to civilians. We therefore worked together in recent days for a joint call for temporary ceasefire to give diplomacy a chance to succeed in further escalations across the border. The statement we've negotiated is endorsed by the United States, Australia, Canada, European Union, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. We call for a broad endorsement and the immediate support of the governments of Israel and Lebanon. Okay, so September 25th, we make an international demand of Israel to call for a ceasefire. The next day, we give them $8.7 billion in weapons exclusively, in armaments, to ignore our ceasefire demand. And then the day after that, Israel kills Hezbollah leader Nasrallah with 80 tons of bunker buster bombs after spies spent years penetrating his entire network, launching devastating, massive attacks in the capital of Lebanon, killing hundreds of innocent people with 80 tons of bombs. And you have neocon bootlicking scumbag Republican, supposedly Americans, acting like this is a victory, like bragging about this, making memes, mocking Hezbollah, Nasrallah for being killed. America demanded a ceasefire. They spit in our face. We gave them $8.7 billion. They launched the largest attack in a year. And this is probably the 20th time this has happened in the last year. This exact timeline. We demand that they stop being genocidal, murderous, psychopath monsters. They ignore us. We give them billions of dollars to continue the military activity that we apparently are so outraged and appalled by. But let's just compare that to the state of the situation all the way back in 2002. Because in 2002, George Bush strongly condemned Israel for killing Hamas's top militant because 14 civilians were killed in the same strike. Israel didn't care and called those victims human shields. This is from New York Times. White House rebukes Israel for attack, calls it heavy-handed. President Bush issued one of his sharpest rebukes against Israel today, denouncing as heavy-handed the attack that killed a Hamas leader, expressing regret over the loss of innocent life because 14 other people, including several children, were killed in the missile attack that killed Salah Shahada, the founder and top commander of Hamas's military wings. Scores of others were wounded. So in 20 years, we've gone from the American president condemning Israel for the loss of innocent life because 14 people were killed in a strike against Hamas's leader to radio silence and total complicity from the American government on a strike that killed Hezbollah's leader, as well as hundreds of other civilians, injuring thousands of other innocent people. That's 22 years of concerted psychological operations, boiling the frog, luring us into the complicity with what previously, even a fraction of what they do now, was cause for outrage and international incident. Now we wag our finger at them while we slip them $8.7 billion for them to continue unabated. And then we get our military ready to cross the Atlantic Ocean, cross the Mediterranean, and put our lives in line for them. It's time to stop. It's time we stop doing any of this. It's time we just use our resources to help ourselves. It's time that we bring our military back from the Middle East. It's time we stop arming Israel. It's time we stop providing them with diplomatic cover. We stop vetoing UN resolutions, telling them to stop. And all of this ends. All of the conflict, all of the buildup to World War III, all of the looming threat of nuclear annihilation, all of the threat of releasing bioweapons designed to go after certain DNA, race-specific plagues, now waiting ready on the shelves of bio labs across the world. All of that grinds to a halt and goes away forever the instant America decides to stop doing Israel's bidding, to stop supplying them the weapons they need to carry out the genocides, stop giving them the diplomatic cover to disguise their blatant land grabs, depopulation, displacement programs against the natives in the Middle East. It all grinds to a halt, stops, goes away the instant that America prioritizes itself over foreigners. We are beyond revelation now. We are beyond the time period where this stuff needs to be discussed because nobody knows about it. Everybody knows it now. It's time for action. It's time to put the stuff into practice. It's time to ignore half measures and go all in. It's now or never. They're going to start a third world war, and it'll be nuclear this time, and nobody gets out of it alive, and none of our rights survive the first salvo. It's now or never, folks.
Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 40% off, even though it's our number one bestseller. All the vitamins, all the minerals, all of the amino acids, everything you need that's essential. And let me tell you what essential means. You need air, you die in 4 minutes without it. You need water, you die in 5 days without it. You need food, you die on average in a month without it. Because what's in the food? The vitamins and the minerals and the amino acids. This has everything that's essential. All the vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. Tastes great. Concentrate. Put a little scoop in a pitcher of water. Take it to work with you. Drink it morning, noon, and night. Give it to your kids, your neighbors. Really important for old folks because their guts don't absorb as much. Vitamin Mineral Fusion sells all day at full price. It is 40% off as part of the sale going right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And then discounts right now on full spectrum CBD gummies, super strong, lowers inflammation, so good for your whole body, and so good for mental relaxed clarity. It's not a sedative, but it's like you're awake, but you're relaxed. The gummies are incredible. I like to take them before I go to bed at night. And then on top of that, we have the 1,000 milligram CBD under the InfoWars MD label that is private label, again, by the same top folks, ladies and gentlemen. They sell it for $45 more on average than we do, and their competitors for even more. 1,000 milligram real full-spectrum CBD is sold in elite shops and at doctor's offices for $150 all day long. It's a good deal if you get it for $60-$70, and that's what we're selling it for. In fact, it's an insanely good deal. You can't really find anybody else selling high quality at that price. So, full spectrum CBD at InfoWarsStore.com in the gummies and the liquid tincture, and so many other great products at InfoWarsStore.com, or call toll free 888-253-3139. Get your vitamin mineral fusion. Check out the InfoWars MD line and more at InfoWarsStore.com, and I thank you all for your support.
Thank you.